Hello. So we are here recording a history of Steel Meadow, and would you mind stating who you are?
Hello, my name is Wendy McEachern.
And
I have been a member of Steel Meadow for just about 30 years.
Mm-hmm. You can continue.
Okay, so I can say that I've always felt the love here at Steel Meadow from mm-hmm. the first day. We are a great gospel-centered teaching church. And when I first came to Steel Meadow, it was a predominantly white congregation.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know how to feel about that at first. But then I felt the love, got to know the people, mm-hmm. and began to fellowship. And it has grown to become more diverse now, including some Jewish believers.
Nice.
And I learned a lot from the Jewish believers, their perspective on the Old Testament and things like that. I've taught Sunday school for many years, and I still do. I have led our prayer ministry, enjoyed many women's retreats, picnics, church and home Bible studies for many years. And we can't forget our wonderful trips to Sight and Sound Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Sponsored by Sister Rosalind Smith, who has recently gone to be with the Lord. She was also a mentor to many of us. My other mentors were Miss Rhoda Smith and Sister Rhoda Smith and Sister Lucine Young, affectionately known as Mama Lucine, who also have gone to be with the Lord. I was also blessed to be a part of our drug rehab ministry at Mountain Manor facility, along with Joe Mim and our former member, Jack Weber, also Brenda Jenkins and Mama Lucine.
Mm-hmm.
Steel Meadow has been blessed to have sent out missionaries
mm-hmm.
Throughout several nations. Steel Meadow has had its moments like all churches do. But by the grace of God, we are still standing. I thank God for Steel Meadow being a church that loves the Lord and teaches the truth from scriptures and holding on to our statement of faith. I pray that God will continue to protect and use us for his glory. And may he continue to help us prepare new disciples for the next generation.
Beautiful. Thank you. So, when did you get affiliated with Steel Meadow Church?
I would say in 1993.
Okay. And what was your impression when you first got started?
Well,
you talked a little bit about this, but
yeah,
if you can elaborate.
I brought my daughter, who was around 8 years old at that time, and she loved it. She loved the kids, and we would talk about church on the way home. And you know, my big focus was helping her to understand who Jesus is, and getting to know people on a different level, spending time outside of church, fellowship, things like that.
Mm-hmm. How old was your daughter when you bought her?
She was about 8.
Okay, gotcha. So your impression was that they were a really active church because you were doing things outside too?
And
Yeah.
Women's ministry, we even had a dance ministry,
Oh, wow.
You know, and lots of activities for the kids.
Nice. Okay, dance ministry. Cool. So you talked a little bit about your affiliation in the church and all the things you were part of, Sunday school, women's retreats, dance ministry. Could you elaborate on, and the drug rehab ministry? Could you elaborate on one or two of these things that were meaningful to you and what the experience was like?
You mean specifically about the drug ministry?
Either the drug ministry, the Sunday school, women's retreats, dance ministry.
Okay. Well, the Sunday school, I have to say that some of the children were children of elders. So a lot of those children had a lot more knowledge, you know, about the scriptures and Bible stories and things like that. So I actually tried to use those kids to teach the younger ones. So I learned so much from them, you know. And as far as the rehab center.
How many kids would you teach for Sunday school?
Oh, early on, there could have been maybe 15 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And as time went on, the numbers decreased,
mm-hmm.
you know. And as some kids got older, they stopped coming.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's not so many.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of fluctuates, but mm-hmm. there aren't very many right now.
Got you. So yeah. About how many in comparison to the 15 that you started with?
Well, on holidays. Oh, my goodness. I'm doing good to have 5 or 6.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And why do you think there's been a change over the years?
I don't know if it's culture, social media. I can't answer that.
Yeah.
I just pray that they will feel the need for God.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, God bless Jarell.
Yeah.
Because Jarell is an angel who just loves into these kids so much mm-hmm. that a lot of what we do for them centers around her, her ability to reach them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they learn from her.
Amen.
Yeah.
And the drug rehab ministry, you can describe what that experience was like and what you did.
Well, a gentleman that used to be a member, he started the ministry. It's actually right up the street.
Mm. And, when did that start? What year? Or
I guess it was in the mid to late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know Joe Mim?
A little bit.
Yeah, he was a part of it. The two ladies that were a part of it, other than myself, they have gone to be with the Lord now.
Mm-hmm.
But we would go there at 9:30 before church started.
Mm-hmm.
And they would let us in as a ministry and let the kids volunteer to come to us for Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And we would sit in a circle, you know, and they would share their lives with
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm.
And they had lots of questions,
mm-hmm.
you know, different denominations, and sharing how they became addicted
mm-hmm.
and how much they were trying to get clean because they were court ordered there by court
oh,
order.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Gotcha.
And it was just a blessing being a part of that, just teaching them the scriptures and helping them to understand the gospel. They had lots of questions, and there was never enough time.
Mm.
We barely had an hour, and it was like, we don't want to leave yet.
Oh, that's amazing.
You know, so
that's always a good feeling.
It was a blessing to me. It helped me to grow, too.
Mm. Mm. So where was the site?
It's up the street, maybe a half a mile
okay.
on Frederick Road.
And it's called?
Mountain Manor.
Okay, Mountain Manor.
We've been trying to get back in there because they shut down for COVID.
Okay.
So they haven't allowed us back in yet.
Mm, okay. And you mentioned that when you came in, there was also people of Jewish belief mm-hmm. that you started to learn from. I'm trying to get a sense of like the demographics in the church. So if you can explain like what that was like to, and like percentage wise or however you want to.
Very small explain. Percentage.
Okay.
And one gentleman was an Israeli who came. He had been, I believe he had been a Muslim and converted,
mm-hmm.
you know, so just learning from them, their understanding of the Torah, teaching us the Torah
mm-hmm.
and things like that. So I went to private Bible studies when mm-hmm. they were there
mm-hmm.
and learned a lot from a lot more about the Old Testament. I'm out there having a good time. A couple of them invited me to visit a Messianic church. And the believers there were on fire for the Lord. I didn't know what to expect, but they loved the New Testament, you know, and I didn't understand how they really felt, but I grew to understand that they were really believers in Jesus, you know. So, it's a good experience.
So I'm going to ask you some more specific dates. So if we can start with 1993, when you joined. The church was losing members, and you were talking about there's a need in the church. Could you talk about some of the factors that led to the decrease in members and what you believe the needs were?
Well, I was just starting to get to know who Still Meadow was. So I'm sure I missed a lot of what was going on, you know. So I can't really respond to that.
Yeah, that's fine. On this next page, so in 1997, we have that there was a search for someone to work as a pastor, and they came in contact with Pastor Dave Shive. And then after Richard Shuey left administration, they hired a youth pastor, Greg Dutcher. And in 2004, this pastor left suddenly. And so my question here is, do you know about Greg Dutcher as a youth pastor and kind of what he was doing as he was leading and what your experience was when the pastor left and in that transition to Dave Shive again?
Greg Dutcher was a great youth pastor. You know, we could see how much the kids loved him and how he focused on helping them to have fun and love Jesus at the same time. And his teaching was it was very inspiring to me, and I think many others really appreciated him, and we were sad when he left. And you know, depending on who you ask, Dave Shive came along and he was deeper, and at that time I wasn't quite there. And as time went on, I started finding myself digging deeper into the scriptures. And I really needed that at that time. So
Yeah. So in 2004, this is the same instance of when Still Meadow hires Greg Dutcher, but the church elders let him go, which caused that stir that you're talking about. Okay. And that's one of the divisions. But then there was a second division. Our second split.
I really would rather not get into that because of, you know, different opinions.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Do you have any knowledge of John Harris and when he became the leader pastor, the lead pastor?
It wasn't very long, and I really don't have much memory of him.
Got you. What about, do you remember when they paid off the church?
Yes. That was a happy day.
Yay.
Yes.
What was that experience like for you?
Just like having a home and your mortgage is paid off, you know?
I've never experienced that myself.
I hope you will. it was just a good feeling. It freed us up to do other things and more outreach. And that's about it. It was just a good feeling.
Was there an announcement in the church or a celebration of sorts?
There was an announcement.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, not real life.
Not that
distinct.
I can remember. So many okay. things I can't remember. But
okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Okay. Cool. That must have been a happy day.
It was.
Yeah. So, do you remember when Steel Meadow hired Pastor Dave Garrett?
Yes.
Do you mind talking about any of that? The hiring process and, like, mm-hmm. how he was orienting himself to the church?
He seemed to also have a good focus on the kids. And had good plans. He wanted to do some different things. And I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, take your time.
I appreciated the things he wanted to do. And I think some may have considered him a bit radical, you know, but he was,
why?
He had big dreams, like what I said earlier about the...
The basketball court?
Yeah, the basketball okay. court. And, you know, different kinds of things to draw the kids in.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a good teacher. He was a good Sunday school teacher. I mean, Bible study teacher. Mm-hmm. We had Bible study under him, and he was a good teacher.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, and then after Pastor Garrett stepped down, what was the process like in finding a new pastor?
I can't remember all the details.
Okay. Well, yeah. What was the feeling like when Pastor Garrett stepped down? Or can you put like a...
Mixed feelings, you mm-hmm. know? Yeah, I think if he hadn't moved out of state,
mm-hmm.
some people may have gone to his, you know, to another church with him.
Right.
But yeah, he left town.
Mm-hmm. Some mixed feelings, yeah. So, we have Elder Stevie Thomas became the lead pastor after David.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Elder Steve Thomas became the lead pastor after Pastor Dave Garrett?
This is temporary.
Okay.
He filled in.
Okay, got you. Do you know how long he was there?
I really don't. I don't think it was very long before we found another pastor.
Not years, but months.
No, yes.
Okay, that's good to know. It's good to know something is interim. Okay, and so... What was your, if you want to talk about the process or your reaction or your experience of Pastor Michael coming on as the lead pastor?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what name you said.
Oh, Pastor Michael.
Pastor Michael. As soon as Pastor Michael came in, it didn't take long to realize that he was a visionary.
Mm.
You know, and in the beginning, those of us who had been here for a while were like, Peace Park? Oh, we don't want that. We don't want, you know, we weren't feeling it because we couldn't imagine what it would be like.
Mm.
And then as time went on, I personally started to appreciate more of what he was trying to do, what he was trying to do with the community, bringing the people in, doing all types of activities for the children.
Mm.
And the kids love him. Mm. You know, he's funny, he's fun. I find him easy to talk to, you know, just I think he still has plans for us.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's not over yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think he's been gifted with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. In 2019, I think it was 2018 was the first flood. What did you remember? The flood
The flood?
Yeah, like the huge flood that happened.
It was devastating.
Yeah.
It was. Pastor Michael did all I can imagine could be done for the community.
Mm-hmm.
Because from what I understand, what I was told and watching the news, there were boats, actual boats on Frederick Road, people mm-hmm. in boats.
Yeah.
And, you know, he just opened the church up to serve the people, you know. You could come for water, you could come to for a cooling station. And the next thing I knew, he was dealing with a lot of organizations, you know, getting grants and things like that to help the community, the Peace Park, you know, the flooding, and people who lost so much, you know, were able to come here for all kinds of help through different government agencies. So, yeah. Very sad time, but I think you more so put Steel Meadow on the map, you know.
How so?
Because we started seeing him interviewed in so many different places, and I would talk to people, and they would say, oh, I know where your church is. That's the church that does this. And, you know, so people were listening, paying attention, and, you know, just appreciating all that we do here.
Right. Yeah. That's cool. So, yeah, I've been learning a lot of what Steel Meadow has done in, during the flood. And I know that there wasn't just one flood, but there was two.
Mm-hmm.
So the first year it happened, was that 2018?
I can't remember years.
Okay. And, okay, so from what people have said, I think there was one in 2018 and there was one in 2019.
That sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we talked about Urel a little bit. In 2020, Urel became the operations manager and started taking on the role of writing grants, getting youth groups involved. What do you know about that whole process with Urel and the operations that were running in 2020?
I knew he needed someone, and I always felt Urel was the one for the job, you know, because I always felt that she was so well-rounded, loved people. I knew who her mother was, so I knew that she would be able to do the job. I known her for a very long time when she was a young girl, and I always respected her ability to work with all kinds of people. So I was glad she took the job.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So do you remember when Turnaround Tuesday was launched? And what that was like?
I don't think I remember the year. Maybe 2021, something
okay.
like that.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense. And what that was like for them to be part of the church and a part of the church operations.
I thought it was great. People need to work. And I think sometimes they felt like the church is a safe place. And Pastor Michael made everyone feel at home. I didn't go on a regular basis, but I sat on a couple of different classes. And he did his usual, Simon Says. You know.
Oh, so that has been around for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And, you know, he's good with icebreakers. So I think it's a great ministry. I think it's another thing that put us on the map. And people have gotten jobs. People will remember this place for that.
Yeah. So, you had sent me a lot of pictures around the history of the church. I don't know if any of those events that you were sending me stand out to you that you might want to add to the record on your experience of, yeah, whatever event you think should be of note in the history.
You're strictly talking about pictures. Just the memories of the ones who came before me, the ones that encouraged me and just made me feel like a part of the family. You know, the ladies, the three main ladies that mentored me, and they were so patient with me.
Please talk about them.
Because I could be kind of silly sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And Mama Lucine would always correct me if I said something that wasn't quite right, because I always respected her so much because I wanted to know truth. And, you know, she just helped me in so many unique ways.
Mm. Like what?
You know, if I said something like, God helps those who help themselves. You know, I could say something and she'll say, well, you know, that's not in the scriptures. That's just an old, you know, something that grandmother said and things like that. So she helped me understand the differences about things we speak that sound like scripture, but they're not, and things like that.
Got it.
And Miss Lucine, Miss Rhoda, she had Bible study at her house. Mm-hmm. And I would go to Bible study. Mm-hmm. And she was our prayer leader. And being in charge of a prayer ministry, for her, she was always looking to teach us how to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And being at her house was very comfortable. Her husband was there. And started off with just a few of us. Then it grew a little bit more. And sometimes she would just pray and just, we'd be quiet. And she would say, just speak. The Lord will hear you. The Lord will give you the words.
Mm-hmm.
Just encouraging, you know. And then I finally prayed in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
And she commented about it. And then as time went on, she said, you're going to take over this ministry. I said, no, not me. And she just said, you are. Pray about it. And just another woman that encouraged me in so many ways.
Mm.
And I remember one thing about her, what she always dressed so beautiful.
Mm.
Her hair, her clothes, her makeup and everything. And I remember her saying, I just like to give God my best.
Mm.
And that sticks with me. She wanted to give God her best.
Mm.
So they moved away, and then she passed away.
Mm.
But she was just special.
Yeah. And what is your relationship or understanding and experience with the Peace Park?
The Peace Park has grown on me. And I have rheumatoid arthritis, so my feet are funny sometimes. There are times where I feel like I just run through there, and there are other times I feel like, not today.
Mm.
I've been in there several times. I didn't know we had a pond in there. I didn't know we had fish.
Mm.
I know it's a work in progress, but it is relaxing.
Yeah.
I feel relaxed when I'm up there.
Yeah.
So prayerfully, I'll be able to go more frequently.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wonderful. Let me take a pause here. So, can you describe the people and the communities that surround Still Meadow?
I grew up not too far from here.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear people my age talk about back in the day, this, back in the day. And it was just so different. I mean, you know, a lot of us my age, we talk about when we slept on the porch, could sleep on the front porch, and run up and down the alleys, and not a care in the world. I came from a Christian home, both parents, and I was the youngest of seven. And I can't recall any major incidents that happened in this area. I remember one time I was walking down Frederick Road and some white kids threw rocks at us, you know, and moving forward, I saw Roots, the movie, and I didn't want to talk to any white people for a while. You know, I'm just, you know,
being
honest, because it really affected me. And then I noticed the neighborhood starting to change. I grew up with a lady, a white lady, lived on the end house of my street. She was the last white person to leave my neighborhood. It's not too far from here.
Yeah. What is an end house? What is an end house? I don't want you to lose your train of thought, but I don't know what an in-house is.
Oh, I really can't explain it.
Okay, never mind. Just continue. I'm sorry.
I just was taught to love everybody. And my dad would send me to the mailbox for her. And my friends would tease me because they said she was a witch. No, she's not. She's so sweet, you know, and she would give me a quarter, which was a lot of money back then. And I tried to get my friends to understand how nice she was. I didn't realize she was dying from cancer. And she ended up leaving her house to my dad because he was so good to her. But he wouldn't take it. He didn't want it. I guess he just didn't understand, you know. He had, I think, sixth grade education, and he didn't really understand what he was getting.
Wow.
It was sort of weird for me because of my complexion, you know, different things, different advantages I had, you know. And with my friends, they would ask me to go into the store because I would get extra candy, that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
And I felt like I want some suntan lotion.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, as you mature, you realize what you've been taught spiritually, how God loves everybody. He loves the way he made us. He made us for his glory and for us to encourage each other to look at the inside, not the surface of a person. So living in this neighborhood has been... Well, not exactly this far down. I don't know if you know where Hilton Street is, but it's maybe a half a mile down. And just getting to desiring to have friends from different cultures.
Yeah.
Because I came up during the time of Woodstock, if you've ever heard of Woodstock. Hippies. And my dress started to change. I just wanted to look different. Fake tattoos, things like that. And we had parties where we would have black lights, where everything would glow. And I had a thing in my basement that was a cross, you know, a cross. And it was like a new age kind of thing mixed in with that. And I began to realize something wasn't right. Can't do New Age and be a Christian and, you know, live that kind of life and teach those types of confusing doctrines, you know. So I started developing relationships with different cultures. And, you know, we sat on the floor and smoked some weed. You know, and I got through that rather quickly. And even when it feels good and you're raised as a Christian, you feel like something's not right. You know, and then I don't really regret it because I learned so much about people and loving people and reading the Bible and seeing where God wanted me to be personally. You know, so... I don't know. I don't regret anything.
Yeah. Thank you. But thank you for sharing that. Yeah. So, also,